Hola, y gracias por volar en la aerolínea aérea de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Green Card. El vuelo de esta noche estaremos presentando diarrea. Y también debo mencionar Taco Bell Chihuahua. Y ahora, aquí está Phil.
That's it. It's all over with O's, man. Next week, something else. I just as soon go with that cheesy Van Halen bumper music as that. And it was my idea. I want everybody to know that dumb airline. I don't know. What was I thinking? Sitting around a bunch of guys. We had drinks. We had cocktails. We had a nice antipasto. And I said, how about something that sounds like an airplane? And, well, you know what? Maybe we're burning on it faster than the audience. I don't know. It's Phil Henry's show at 1-800-449-8686. You know what they say. You're sitting in that stuff, man. You can't smell it. Everybody else can. Something like that. 1-800-449-8686. And got a little bit of a late start today coming here to the radio station. I actually got out of bed at 2:15 this afternoon. I had an appointment at 3. I totally blew through that thing because I was up at 6:37. The school calls. One of the kids has got a bite. And it's Catherine. She's our 8-year-old. And she had a bite or something on her arm. And the lady in the office said, hi, Phil. Listen, Catherine's in here. She's got a bump on her arm. It's the size of a baseball. And, well, really, let me talk to her. I guess she was okay, but she got bit by the cat yesterday. Now, we called up the pediatrician, and the guy said, what, a cat bite? No problem. If it starts swelling and the redness spreads, we'll amputate. Other than that, don't bug me. I got golf. I said, all right. We're looking at it, and it seems to be okay, but the cat, we got this new furniture. I bought a new sofa, and I bought a new chair. It's kind of a cool chair. My wife bought this chair. It's got martini glasses on it with little olives. I don't know, there's something, it's like Disneyland or something. It's like the Haunted Mansion, and the furniture's okay, but it's got funny-looking heads painted on it. That's what we got in our living room now. We got an easy chair with martini glasses on it. And then we got this big, overstuffed thing with these little, looks like a Turkish hothouse kind of thing that you'd see. Like, it's a great thing to lay on and smoke opium. So this is in my house now. I actually, really nice. I laid on the thing last night, and put my feet up, and I hadn't washed my feet in a few days. So it was wonderful. Well, a cat got on this stuff. And apparently Maria beat the crap out of it with a broom handle or something. Or she got upset because the cat, you know what a cat is, he thinks he owns the whole joint. She, in this case. She's laying on this, laying on that. She's all over the place. Man, I wake up in the middle of the night, she's laying in bed with me. What is that about? You know, something creepy when your wife's not around, like Maria's spending a couple of days down in San Diego, or she's up with visiting her sister, and I'm all alone in the house, the kids are gone, and the cat's in bed with you, and it's getting real comfortable, and say, I don't know. So I picked the thing up and threw it out of the third floor window. But anyway, she beat the hell out of this thing because it got up on the sofa, and it got angry. So it bit the kid. Didn't break the skin, but apparently she had this bite. So I got to get my long story short. I'm out of bed at 7:30 with this thing. So I try to get back to bed, and now here comes, hi, I'm Dave, I'm going to do the carpeting. And this guy comes to the front door, and he's patching up carpeting. We had the toilet overflow downstairs. And, you know, when a toilet backs up, you got to get the health department to clear it before you can put carpeting. Are you aware of that? If you get any amount of sewage spilling out, they got to, if it's a good plumber, he's got to call up the health department and make sure that your joint, you know, that they got, like, yellow tape around your house. It's like a crime scene. It's like everybody know that the toilet backed up. I don't know what happened, but one of the kids, one of the bigger kids, was sitting there one evening having a very fine time, reading Nintendo Power, no big deal. He's just parked there on the throne. And these kids that we got, man, we got three sons, all three of these guys, they're in the john for a half hour minimum. Minimum these guys are in the can. All three cans. We got three bathrooms, there's one in my bedroom, and there's two other ones these guys could use. All three of these guys jamming up the cans for a half of an hour. I'm running around the block trying to get my mind on off of what I gotta do. These guys are in, and I'm like, hey, come on, will you, man?
I'm eating a piece of butter.
What? I don't know what they're eating. They're eating what I'm eating. But, I mean, these guys are like 10 going on 40. They're getting comfortable. They're grabbing the sports page. They're getting Nintendo Power. They got Nickelodeon Magazine. And I'll be in the john. Oh, man, another half hour I'll be waiting for these guys. And, of course, when they open up the door, there isn't a match made that's going to get rid of what's going on over there. All three of them. So Alex was on a john one day, and the next thing we hear is like some sort of a blood-curdling scream, and the thing is just covered with crap. The whole downstairs bathroom is just messed up. So you got to call, there's some kind of a deal when you call out the plumber and say, like, we've got sewage backed up here, man. They got to call out the health department. Your house looks like I said, like a crime scene. They got a yellow tape running around the thing, and the neighbors are going, your body turn up someplace, Phil? No, man, my toilet backed up. Oh, really? That's right. Might change that. But get off of that 7-grain sprouted bread, man. Something wrong with you. So then we call a plumber out, and this guy has to rip the carpeting out. They got to do a whole thing. And when we finally patch that, it's, you ever gone into somebody's house where they got green carpeting here and yellow carpeting over there? You ever do that? You ever seen anybody do that? You walk into a bedroom, it's blue, and then you walk out of it, it's yellow, and another, it's green. That's the way it looks. This patch job the guy did, real good, man. Looking good, right out of Better Homes and Freaking Gardens, this thing. So we had to call a guy up, come out and do that. So this guy's out at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I'm telling you, I didn't get into bed. I didn't really get any sleep till about noon, so about 2:15, oh, man, I'm gone. And I get out of bed just in time to read all the news coverage on L.A. not getting the NFL franchise and Houston getting it. You may not be aware of this, and it's okay if you're not. L.A. didn't get no football team. And there isn't one person in Los Angeles today that cares. Not a one. There's not a, not even Mike Ovitz cares. He couldn't care less. The only thing that Mike Ovitz cares about, and the thing that I thought was interesting, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, for the longest time, people who live in Los Angeles think and believe that the entertainment industry, the movie industry, and the television industry is really bucks up and very, very high-powered. You cannot think anything else if you are aware of the fact that this is an enormous amount of money is made in the entertainment business, isn't it? Mike Ovitz is described as a super agent, so he's right in the thick of the deals, right in the thick of the action when they're cutting any given deal on any given day. This is a guy that's been brokering big money deals for a long time. And the cash and the houses and the Rolls Royces, and it's very easy to be seduced into thinking that the film business is the end-all be-all. And he goes to Atlanta and gets his ass handed to him, but he's 31 billionaires there in the National Football League. These guys are like oil and strip mall developers. Did you ever believe that the high money, the big-time money of Hollywood would go to Atlanta and get its ass handed to it by a guy that's making strip malls and whatever the hell, like, made all of his money on buttons, you know, on the zipper? I think the guy that owns the New England Patriots, did he make all of his money on the fly? Or one of them things. Isn't that interesting? If ever there was anything that kind of knock in your mind down a few notches, the notion that Hollywood is the end-all, be-all, and the big money in America today, or that the entertainment business really holds some enviable position in terms of how things are moneyed in this society, just take a look at what happened to L.A. with this NFL bid, and the cats in Houston, man, they're made out of dough. What's that Bob McNair? Is that oil money? He's got it. Ovitz going there with $100 million. I got another $100 million. I'll go up to $300. I got $400. I got $400. $500. I got $500. $600. $600. Sold American. This guy had more jingle. Every time somebody wanted to pop another $50-100 million into the kitty, he said, "Well, we got another $100 million. Now what the hell are you going to do about that?" And I'm hearing everybody today talk about how Houston got snookered and suckered and slockered. They didn't, man. They know exactly what they're doing. They want that football team. They're going to find a way to get that $700 million back. You better believe it. Suckered? No cat lays $700 million out for anything. If he's got that kind of change, he didn't just get off the turnip wagon, okay? I love listening to these guys. I love listening to these commentators saying, $700 million, boy, did they get suckered. You know, a cat that's laying out $700 million going to get suckered about nothing. He'll get his money back, even if he has to move that team to Nashville. You know what I'm saying? In other words, he's got the ball club and he's got the stadium, and if that sucks and they can't make their jack, man, they move it on up to Albuquerque or something. I know, move it to L.A. So the big dough in Hollywood, man, they just got their rear end handed to them big time, and that's the name of that tune. Whatever that tune is, it ain't sounding too good, but you know what? It's fine, because I'm getting that DSS one of these days, just as soon as I figure out where I'm going to put it. It's the Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And then I got people calling me and saying, "You made the Matt Drudge report. Does that make me some? Do I get going to increase my? I don't know. Everybody visits the Drudge. I've never seen a guy get more crap wrong in my life than this Drudge guy. Yeah, you got that one thing, that Lewinsky thing. Is that right? The rest of it, I ain't got nothing right. And I won't even mention it. Although I did. But it's in today's Drudge Report. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. So how about all these guys thinking them Houston cats are a bunch of cowpokes and they got their ass handed to them, and Mike Ovitz is a real bright... He must be a hell of a bright guy. There's no doubt that Mike Ovitz is a genius. He's brokered some of the biggest freaking deals in the history of God and man on this planet. But the fact is, he went to wherever it was that they went, Atlanta, and couldn't play with those guys, could not play with those big boys. Now you got a guy laying $700 million out for an NFL franchise. People are calling this guy some kind of a cornpone, off the turnip wagon, dumbass. Give me a break. Nobody with $700 million. Man, I don't care if he made it in gumballs, if he was selling Amway. I don't care how the guy made that kind of dough. $700 million, $700 million. Ain't no guy with that kind of money that's stupid. Or could I possibly be wrong about this? Yeah, man, I mean, that's 700 men. Then, you know, that guy, he spent them up. Boy, you wait and see. They're going, he'll never. There isn't one of them that don't make their money back one way or another. Even old Georgia, man, when she took that game, took that whole game, that Ram game and that team too, and took it down to St. Louis, even she made out like a bandit. Who else? You think Al Davis is suffering? You think any of these guys are broke? Come on. All these cats, every one of them is going to find a way to make the money back sooner or later. The guy made out $700 million. Hey, you know what? He's going to make it back somehow. He'll get one of those licensing agreements, or they'll move the team, or they'll have some profit sharing. They'll make the jingle back. And by the way, it ain't like they're just writing a check for $700 million. It's a whole bunch of fancy dance in there. It's like, isn't he like drawing a line of credit or something? Or is he doing it in blue stamps? None of these guys, man, they're laying out a check for $700 million for a football team. It's all like deferred bread, and it's all, it's on paper. It's on a napkin. It's on a cocktail napkin someplace. That's how they made that deal. Somebody threw up on a cocktail napkin. They cleaned it off. Well, wait a minute. Wait, you got to carry the zero. There you go. Now go ahead and puke, Eddie. Go ahead and puke, McNair. There, $700 million. Put it on, because it's not going to happen. The guy is going to lose his money. There ain't no football in L.A. today because these guys didn't want to, you know, Ovitz or whoever it was, they didn't either have the money or they didn't want to go that high. Probably they didn't have the money, because if they did, they would have gone that high. Because guess what? They're going to make it back, but they didn't have any jingle. He got his rear end handed to him there in Atlanta. Come on back to L.A., man. Make a movie. Fort Lauderdale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Didn't you guys try to get the taxpayers to pay for a stadium?
Yeah, nobody wanted to do that.
The Coliseum and Anaheim to play in?
Didn't they try to get him to pay for a stadium?
Yeah, because
yeah, they didn't. Nobody wanted to use.
The holdups was trying to get people to.
Nobody wanted to use any pub. Nobody wanted to. Hello, hi there. Nobody wanted to use any public money here.
Well, I don't blame him, because the owner of the Marlins down here wants us to build him a stadium. He's starting like at $400 million, and who wants to crank that over?
So why don't you guys follow the lead? Why don't you guys say no? Now he'll move the Dolphins, but I mean, you got to bite the bullet sometime, don't you? So what happens, because I know how popular football is in Miami, if he says, I want to come up with some public money for, he wants a new stadium?
Well, they had to definitely build the stadium they have for the Dolphins, because as you remember...
Right, does he want a new stadium? Does he want a new stadium?
John, thanks
for calling. Here is Huntington Beach on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. I don't think we need a football team here.
No, of course we don't.
Well, and what I'm saying is, there's so much competition for things as it is. You know,
but the
we
point
have
is that this guy went to Atlanta. This guy Ovitz went to. I guess nobody can hear me tonight, so I'll just you go
Hello?
Ahead and talk. Go ahead. What else?
Yeah, we have the Lakers. We have the Clippers. We have the Ducks. We have the Kings. We have
and nobody goes to that stuff either.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to watch the Ducks. Who goes to watch the Ducks?
Everybody in Orange County who's, you know, driving a SUV.
Everybody in Orange County who's driving an SUV goes to see the Ducks. Well, that's a hell of a lot more than 20,000 people. And
well,
who's going to watch and who's watching the Kings?
Someone in L.A., I don't know.
You know what? The fact is, nobody is into sports here anymore. Nobody. The city of Los Angeles has no real sports fan base at all. Because the town's become so fragmented, there isn't any unifying force. There's a couple of guys who want to go see hockey. There's a few people, unless the team's winning, unless the team's losing, then nobody goes to see it. The
You're
same
right.
with the Lakers, the same with the Clippers. This is not a sports town any longer.
Nope.
Okay, thanks. God almighty. The only thing that I'm saying, and you know, I didn't even want to, you know what, forget the phone calls, hang up on them, because I don't think anybody's really got any interest in this at all. And you know what, you'll find that a lot on the show. I talk about all kinds of crap that nobody's interested in, and I'm fine with that. The only thing that I was trying to say, isn't it interesting that the big money that comes from Hollywood suddenly was dwarfed in comparison to all of the big jack that they're spreading around at the National Football League level, at the NFL level, man. NFL, baby, Monday night, oil money, strip mall money, steel money, Victor Kiam kind of money, Lady Schick money. The guy that owns the New Orleans Saints is a used car salesman. The cat that used to own the Eagles, what did he do? I don't even know what that guy. I think he made his money playing Baccarat in Monte Carlo. The guy that owns the Broncos, he's a, what is he? He owns a silver mine or something. Oh, that's what a real jack is. It ain't Forrest Gump making a big $500 million movie. So I think what happened was is that a guy who's used to having a lot of success in his life, and he deserves it, because he works hard, he's a deal maker and all of that stuff. A guy who's used to having a tremendous amount of success brokering deals wasn't able to put it together in Atlanta because he was outclassed, out of his league, in over his head, whatever you want to call it. Mike Ovitz, who I understand is, you know, like I say, a real power player, baby. When he got back to Atlanta, he was swimming with the Sharks. Not the Ducks. That's why L.A. doesn't have a football team today. It has nothing to do with whether or not you want to go see the game. You realize that this had never had anything to do with whether or not people in Los Angeles wanted to go and see football. People in L.A. go and see football, man. If you give them a football team, they'll go. Don't worry about it. This had nothing to do with whether you wanted the football team or not. This had to do with the fact the guy went back to Atlanta, and he was standing around there wearing a barrel and a straw hat, man. He might as well be sucking on a corncob pipe with those guys. It was Little Abner come to the big city. He said he was crestfallen and he was demoralized and he tried his very best. These guys simply played a better game of poker, man. He sat down, he pulled out the egg money from his purse, he dropped it on the table. There's a dude sitting across from him in a cowboy hat named Slim. How long do you think he's going to sit at the table? So there you go. Somebody comes up with an idea for a football team for L.A., I guarantee you they're going to sell it out every game. Not because we're not interested in football, but because, you know, we don't want to get up off our asses and go and get a team. We'll wait for somebody to bring it to us. You got Al Davis's phone number, or you give him a call? Bill Henry Show.
また、Pearl Harbor. And now, here's Phil.
The Phil Henry Show. And now, Coast to Coast Overnight, AM, PM, Minimart. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-44... Get that thing away from my... East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-44... Get that away from my ass.
I'm sorry.
East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-86. Get it away from my ass.
Sorry.
East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-86. I said to get it away from my ass. And now, coast to coast, overnight, AM, PM, mini mother.
Good evening, and welcome. We have General Johnson Jameson will be calling us from his compound in Mauritania in just a moment. But first, we do have this word from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, do you wake up listless and tired? Do you wake up as if you just can't get yourself out of bed in the morning? Have you considered the possibility that blood is being sucked from your neck by a vampire during the evening? Well, that is very, very possible. You know, more and more vampire attacks as we reach Y2K. As we reach the year 2000, more and more vampires will be rising themselves from their crypts, the walking undead, a foul thing of the night, sucking blood directly from your neck. No wonder you're tired, no wonder you're listless. Now, Peenemann Enterprises introduces the new B. Arthur crucifix. That's right, you get a handy crucifix with the image of B. Arthur hammered to it, and hold that to the face of any vampire, and I can tell you right now, they'll turn around and run, they will fly. They'll fly for parts unknown. That's right, the new B. Arthur crucifix. Just hold that right up into the face of a vampire, and there's nothing he's going to be able to do to you. Hang a little garlic around your neck, too, for extra added protection. If you're getting the blood sucked directly out of your neck, directly out of the femoral artery in your thigh, if you're getting blood sucked directly from your body, it's probably a vampire. Get the new B. Arthur Crucifix. It's only $123 plus tax, plus shipping and handling from Peenemann Enterprises. The new B. Arthur Crucifix. It was a bitch to pose for. Remember, it also works on chupacabras as well. You from Peenemann Enterprises. Well, I'll tell you, it has been a wild 24 hours because I have been in constant contact with General Johnson Jameson, who is in his compound, his bunker complex compound, with the guard towers and the barbed wire fence there in Mauritania. And we'll get General Jameson on the line here this evening. And General Jameson, I can tell it's a very, very busy evening for you.
It's been wild, but I just came out of the laboratory.
Now, let's just bring people up to speed. Last year, you had talked to us about goblin juice. Tell us about the goblin juice.
Well, that was the goblin juice that I had been working on, whereby you could drink it and turn into a goblin.
And now, something extraordinary has happened.
Well, I got tired of turning into a goblin. And because they can't do anything, you know. The goblin...
What can a goblin do?
It just hops around, it sits under staircases. And, you know, what does a goblin do? I thought about that, too, because I had invested some 25 years of my life and upwards of $500,000 in perfecting the goblin juice. And by drinking it, as you know, you were up here, Art. You were in my compound here in Mauritania, and I've been to your home there, the very, very beautiful trailer that you have there in the desert. And you know I looked like a goblin, didn't I?
Well, if you did, a goblin is pretty much a nothing kind of a monster, though, isn't it?
That is correct. That's when I decided that...
Now, let me bring people up to speed here, because we are talking about the goblin juice that did work, but you have been working on something new, and I think... The government obviously doesn't want anybody to know about it.
That's right. That's it. Why do you talk like that?
That's right.
Okay. I think that, and please don't play any more of that Thelma Houston, for God's sake.
Don't worry about it.
All right. What I did was I just got done turning into a werewolf. I've developed a werewolf punch.
All right, so... What we're talking about now is a new step from the goblin juice to the werewolf punch. Isn't that right?
That is correct. I had read a book by Robert Louis Stevenson entitled "The Dr. Hyde and Mrs. Jekyll."
Mm-hmm.
And in it, a man drinks a potion.
A potion, really?
Yes, it was something that he made.
Where?
Well, he had a downstairs laboratory of some kind. And they made the potion, and lo and behold, he turned into Mrs. Jekyll.
Fascinating.
Right. I thought that I could make a werewolf punch, and I started off experimenting with a werewolf concentrate, and of course I mixed the goblin juice and the werewolf concentrate, and that didn't work. Until I hit upon the werewolf punch, and I got the idea after my wife and I returned from a very clandestine visit to Honolulu. And I don't know how the government found out I was there. Oh, I so regret that. I so regret the money we spent at the Sheraton. But in any event...
All right, so you had developed the werewolf punch.
Yes, from the werewolf concentrate, and it came in the family size.
Mm. You realize the danger that you're in, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Because you know that the government is going to want to shut you up.
Well, I called the SPCA. When I perfected the werewolf punch, I called the SPCA, and they hung up on me.
Isn't that... And you know that they would.
I knew they'd hang. I said to them... And
What did happen? Tell us.
All right. I called the SPCA, and I said, "Hello, I'm General Johnson Jameson, and I've developed a werewolf punch." Well, right away, they hung up on me. I knew I had them.
You knew you were onto something.
I knew I was onto something. And so I went back to my secret laboratory.
Now, what is a laboratory?
That is a laboratory in England. And
I see.
Right. But I wasn't in England. I was in Mauritania. Now, what happened, Art, is I drank the werewolf punch.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a party that my wife's office was throwing. It was a retirement party for one of the comptrollers there at the bank.
Right.
What do you suppose happened?
Now, the werewolf punch was ingested when?
I ingested it. By the way, the American Kennel Club hung up on me, too. I knew that, that the government then... That
all right, so you've got the SPCA and the American Kennel Club hanging up?
That is correct. And then I tried to enter the greyhound races at the Seminole Kennel Club in Central Florida. They wouldn't let me run in the race.
Boy, I'll tell you something, General Jameson. You know, and I know, and I've known you for as long as you've known me. In fact, I think you've known me longer than I've known you because you were stalking me, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
And it never ceases to surprise me, the government trying to keep the information from us.
There's no doubt about it. So anyway, I couldn't enter the greyhound race. Well, I drank the werewolf punch. I went to the party.
Yeah, let's get back to the party.
I walked in, and I immediately started humping the leg of the comptroller's wife. I knew the werewolf punch was taking effect.
Absolutely. That would be the indicator.
That's right. When you drink the werewolf punch, and then you start, humping the leg of anyone, for that matter, even a chair. I was outside humping a Roman column there at someone's home. You know the werewolf punch is taking effect.
This is absolute. And, of course, the government doesn't want us to know about it.
No, they don't want us to know about it. But I've got a plan. A plan that I think is going to be very, very effective. And that is entering the Westminster Dog Show. Now, if I can get...
Now, the Westminster Dog Show could be tricky because those are all poodles and schnauzers and things.
I'll get in. Don't worry about it because...
What shape do you take?
I'm not sure. I knew the werewolf punch had taken effect when I woke up this morning. My hair was disheveled, and I saw paw prints leading in from my backyard and an eviscerated sheep out back. And I've never liked lamb. But, a werewolf...
Well, a werewolf would eat a sheep, wouldn't it?
That's right. The purebred werewolf would eat a sheep, and that's why I think I can get into the Westminster Dog Show.
You are purebred... Purebred werewolf.
That's right. And, hold on for a minute. Jesus.
What are you doing now, General Jameson?
I just have a chew toy in my mouth right now. It's a leather chew toy. It's a rawhide. And, look at that.
General Jameson, stay with me.
All right, I'm chasing a ball now. I'm chasing a ball.
All right. Now, of course, the experiment we are about to try is potentially dangerous, isn't it?
That is correct, because I haven't taken the full dose of the werewolf punch yet.
What are you going to do?
I am going to take the full dose. Oh, this is scary. I'm going to take the full dose and chase a UPS van.
All right, that will be coming up later on in our program. General Johnson Jameson will take the full dose of the werewolf punch and chase a UPS van out in front of his house there in Mauritania. The UPS is delivering in Mauritania these days?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, we've got the Good Humor Man is here. And I called, and let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something else.
Yes.
I called David Letterman to be on Stupid Pet Tricks. They hung up on me. So you see, it's all part of my ball rolled under the couch. Hold on for a minute.
All right, General Johnson Jameson is on the line with us. He has drunk the werewolf punch, and his ball just rolled under the couch. So
I want to get my ball.
General Jameson, stay with me on this.
All right, I'm with you. All right, but there, I got it. So I think that what we're up against is this conspiracy that is wild.
Now, as you drink the werewolf punch and it takes effect...
Well, I dislocated my neck trying to lick my testicular portions the other night. Now, obviously, a man can't do that. So I have to wait for the werewolf punch to take effect so that I have more flexibility.
So you can't lick yourself when you're...
No, not when you're a full human. It's no... What are you kidding? Come on. Use your head. God dang. I thought you were bright.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to...
Come on, man. No, I'm not going to be able to do that until I'm fully capable. And that could be any given... Oh, no.
This is the BBC.
Not Thelma Houston, please.
You are listening to Coast to Coast AM, overnight PM, PM, mini mod overnight. This is the CDC.
Oh, please, will you...
General Johnson Jameson on the line with us from his compound bunker complex beneath the surface of Mauritania in Africa, someplace there on the African continent. And General Jameson is going to be talking with us about ingesting all of the werewolf punch and the... Oh, I stepped on the post.
Well, you can't... can't talk those up anymore, can you?
No, I blew it. I can't stay. No, I blew it.
You sure did. Oh, baby,
don't leave me this way. This.
Go ahead, say it. This is the BBC.
The BBC. I'd surely miss your tender kiss. And you're listening to The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686.
You don't have any Scooby Snacks, do you?
Welcome back to AM PM Overnight. Where's the guy with the big voice?
And now, coast to coast, overnight, AM PM. Calling east of the Rockies.
Okay, that's good. We don't need any more, okay?
But wait a minute. I'll...
Get out of here. All right, we have General Johnson Jameson on the line. We're going to, in just a moment, sort of take a journey into his mind as he evolves into a werewolf after drinking the werewolf punch and goblin juice. But first, this word from Peenemann Enterprises. Have you ever needed an enema but you just can't get to the doctor's office? Well, now, with the new at-home enema kit, you can carry along about 20 feet of garden hose, plug it into any faucet, cram it right up there, and turn the thing on full blast. Whoopee, you've got an enema. It's fun, it's fast, it's easy, it's quick, it's not clean. The at-home enema kit from Peenemann. All right, that was rather short, but we do want to get over here to General Jameson. Are you there, General Jameson?
Yes, I'm here. I have the werewolf punch.
All right. And you are going to drink the werewolf punch and do what?
I'm going to drink the werewolf punch and then chase a UPS van. I just to see if I can survive that, because it's something that dogs do.
I understand. Do you have it?
Yes, it's bubbling now in my cauldron. And
so you're making it in a cauldron?
In a cauldron with a big stick, and I'm stirring it. And
why? Why not a regular Petri dish?
Well, that's what they do in the movies. I don't know. What are you asking me crap like this for?
All right, well, I'll stir up your werewolf punch or whatever the hell it is and do it.
All right. I have it now, Art. And I'm drinking it. Okay, I think I'm turning into a werewolf. I'm not sure. Let me go outside. Oh, there's a van outside right now. All right, I'm going to try and chase the van. And then
General Jameson, how are you?
God damn it, I got hit by a car before I could even chase the van. That sucks. Now I'm roadkill. Oh, jeez.
Well, General Jameson, I know you'll be back next week.
Sure. When I whip up some goblin juice, I'll be as good as new. I mean, in fact, just... I'm a goblin now.
Thank you. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. If only the government knew.
Well, the government doesn't want you to know. What is this crap?
This is the Allman Brothers as the Phil Henry Show comes to a close.
You mean this isn't...
No, this is Phil Henry.
God damn it, I called the wrong show again. I wasted all that goblin juice on Henry. That blows.